Let's pray. Lord, as we ponder over your word, speak to us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Amen. This morning, we'll do a study on worry, fear, and greed. And worry are closely related to each other. They join forces to affect our emotion. They affect how we live. They distort our view of life. Fear and greed have caused so much worries in our lives. What are the things that cause people to worry today? ChatGPT. According to ChatGPT, the top things that cause people to worry are health, finances, relationships, career, future, safety, appearance, parenting, loneliness, existential issues. Some of us may be having problems with these issues and are deeply worried. I hope today's message can help you. Jesus has just told the crowd of people the parable of the rich fool, which you heard last week. Jesus preached the parable of the rich fool to show them that life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Life is not measured by how much you possess. Please keep your Bible open. In verse 22, then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear." Some of you may be thinking, "I don't have any worry about food. I don't have any worry about food and clothing. My fridge is stocked up with plenty of food, and my wardrobe have enough clothes to last me for years." So these verses have no relevance to me. Before you switch off your mind, hear me out. Even though food and clothing may not bother you, there are other things that cause you to worry. The principles laid out in this passage applies to anything that cause you to worry. In the past, food and clothing are not as plentiful as what we have now. They are not easily available. Jesus noticed that the disciples were worrying about food and clothing. So, to assure them, Jesus said, "Do not worry about food and clothing." Today, with the abundance that we enjoy, we are spoiled by choices. We no longer worry whether we have enough to eat. We no longer worry whether we have enough to wear. If there's anyone here in this church who has not enough to eat or enough to wear, enough clothes to wear, just contact anyone listed in this bulletin. Anyone listed in the bulletin. We'll make sure you have enough to eat and enough to wear. If my size fits you, come to see me. I will give you some of my clothes. Elder Humpa, your size fits him. I'm sure he will have clothes to give you. No one in church here today should lack food and clothing. Today, if Jesus was speaking to you, he will say this to the students. Students, if you are a student, he will say, "Don't worry about your school grades. Don't worry about your SPM results." And to those who are older, like us, Jesus will say, "Don't worry about money. Don't worry about career or your health or your relationships or your future. or your gray hair. Don't worry, don't worry. Don't worry about gray hair. Worry is essentially a control issue. We are trying to control the uncontrollable. We cannot control our examination, so we worry about examination. We cannot control our children, so we worry about our children. We cannot control our future, so we worry about future. Yes, we cannot control over all those things, but we have one person who is in control of everything, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus says, do not worry. The one who is in control of everything in the universe tells us, do not worry. First, don't worry doesn't mean don't plan. It is not saying that future planning is unnecessary. This is not a prohibition. This is not a command against career development. It is not against financial planning. It is not against life insurance. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus talks about planning and investing our resources. He wants you to work hard and plan for your future. To do otherwise is to be foolish. Second, don't worry doesn't mean don't be concerned. If you are not concerned about your studies, you will not prepare for your exams. If you are not concerned about your health, you will not be careful with what you eat. There's a difference between concern and worry. Concern is when you can do something to help the situation, so you do what you can. Worry is when you cannot do something and you don't want to leave it to God. In other words, worry is concern gone haywire. Worry is concern becoming excessive. It causes you to forget God. It causes you not to trust Him. It can cause you to make foolish decisions. Foolish decisions. Decisions that have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. At its worst, worry can lead us to unbelief. That's why Jesus regards it as a spiritual issue. Jesus knows every one of us here will face issues that will cause us to worry. If you have never worried in your life, either you are bluffing me or you have not lived long enough. Jesus says, do not worry about your life, what you eat, or your body, what you wear. Why shouldn't we worry? Because life is more important than food. Life is more important than clothes. Our life on earth is meant for greater things than food and clothing. We have more value than all the material things on earth. Our lives have eternal meaning. We have a higher purpose to live for. Jesus wants us to live for His kingdom purpose. Jesus goes on to give another reason why we should not worry. We should not worry because we have a Father who cares for us. We have a Father who loves us, a Father who will meet our needs. Jesus is a master teacher. Jesus could have used any story in the Old Testament. There's so many stories in the Old Testament to teach that God cares for His people. No, He didn't use any story in the Old Testament. He uses what the disciples can see at the moment to teach them. He looks up into the sky. He saw some ravens, some birds flying in the sky. Pointing to the ravens, He said to the disciples, look, consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. they don't plant seeds or harvest. They have no storeroom. Yet, God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Ravens are considered unclean birds by the Jewish people. Unclean birds by the Jewish people. That means these Jewish people will not eat this kind of birds. The point Jesus wants to make is this. If God cares for these unclean birds, so-called unclean birds, won't He care for you? When Jesus mentions that the ravens neither sow nor reap nor store up their food, He does not mean that we should not work. We should not work for our food. Jesus is not telling us to stop working because God will provide anyway. I don't have to work. God will provide anyway. No. He's not telling us to stop working. He's telling us to stop fretting. Stop worrying about food because God will provide. God wants us to work to provide for our families and for ourselves. We are to work and plan ahead, but we are not to worry because God will provide. Then Jesus says, how much more valuable you are than birds. Human beings are the climax of God's creation. We are the apex of God's creation. We are made in God's image. Tell each other, tell your neighbor, you are made in God's image. Say it loud and clear to affirmatively. Don't say, you are made in the image of God. Say, you are made in the image of God. Say it affirmatively. No other creatures are made in the image of God. Only you and I, human beings, are made in the image of God. If God cares for the less valuable, the birds, definitely He will care for the more valuable, the disciples of Jesus. The next time you see a bird flying in the air, think about God's care. Think about God's care for this bird. You can trust this God to provide for you. Jesus has finished talking about food. Now He wants to talk about clothing. He surveys the ground. And He saw some beautiful wildflowers. He points to the wildflower and told the disciples, look, consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. They do not make clothes for themselves. Yet, I tell you, not even Solomon, in all his splendor, in all his glory, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will He clothe you, you of little faith? God cares for the wildflowers. God dressed them up with extravagant beauty, more beautiful than King Solomon in all his glory. This means that the most beautifully dressed person in the world cannot compare with the beauty of a wildflower. So we are always loser, compare our dressing. Some of you, dress so nicely today, right? I see some of you, look around, some of you have dressed very nicely, right, today? Your beauty is nothing compared to a wildflower. Oh, loser lah. God the winner. God will provide for His children. Every day, the birds and the wildflowers are preaching to us this sermon. What sermon? God will provide. In verse 25, Jesus says that worry is pointless. It won't help the situation. Jesus says, who among you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? The answer to verse 25 is obvious. No one can lengthen his life by worrying. Since it is pointless to worry about over small matters, since it is pointless to worry over small matters that we cannot control, then it is even more pointless to worry over bigger matters that are beyond our control. Worry will not help us live longer or better. No, worry will not help us live longer and better life. In fact, medical statistics show that worry actually shortens life. People can worry themselves into the hospital or into the grave. William Jordan writes, "Worry is the most popular form of suicide. It impairs appetite, spoils digestion, disturbs sleep, irritates disposition, weakens mind, warps character, saps bodily strength, and stimulates disease. Worry is the real cause of death in thousands of instances where some other disease is named on the death certificate." Worry is not only pointless and harmful, it also reveals that we have little faith in God. Verse 28 tells us, Jesus telling the disciples, "You of little faith." Whenever we worry, we are exhibiting little faith. When we worry, we are doubting that God truly cares for us. Jesus repeats his command in verse 29. "Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. Don't be consumed by what you eat or drink. Don't make this thing the top priority of your life." For the unbelievers, the pagans of the world run after all such things. The people of the world eagerly seek after these things. These people do not trust God. They don't trust God, so they focus their lives on material things. We can see this happening in our materialistic society. I came from a non-Christian family. Every day, I'm a Chinese. Every day, we talk about money. Every day, money is so important in our life. When my sisters or brothers come home, we talk about how to earn money, how to earn more money. If I have not been a Christian, have not become a Christian when I was 14 years old, money will be my God. I'm so glad that I became a Christian. God changed my heart. We don't live my money. That's why the unbelievers in the world chase after all the things. Jesus commands his followers not to be like them, not to be like the world. He repeats the command not to worry about food and clothing. Why? Because the Father already knows our need. Jesus shows us a better way of living. Instead of worrying, we should seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Instead of setting your heart on food and drink, set your heart on God's kingdom, and God promises to provide all your needs. God wants you to focus on him. God wants you to live for his glory and kingdom. Nathan Coote writes this, "What is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God refers to God's reign or sovereignty, both in a future sense, the coming new heavens and new earth, where God's will is done perfectly, and in a present sense, God's rule in the hearts and lives of his people." To seek the kingdom of God means to prioritize God's rule, purposes, and values in one's life. This could include submitting to God's authority, pursuing a relationship with him, living according to his teachings, and working to advance his kingdom by sharing the gospel and living out its implication. So well said. Yes, seek his kingdom, and God will provide what you need to live in this life. Worry is usually accompanied by fear. That's why Jesus says in verse 32, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." Fear drives worry. The more you fear, the more you worry. So Jesus says, "Do not be afraid." Can you keep the slide on, please? Yeah. Jesus calls his disciples his little flock. They are his sheep, and he's their good shepherd. This will bring their minds passages such as what? What do you think? When Jesus called them, "You're my sheep, I'm your shepherd," what will come to their mind? What passage in the Bible? You know? Psalms? Psalms what? 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing." The good shepherd will provide for us and will protect us. The Heavenly Father is good and generous. It is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. If this Father has a kingdom to give us, what do you think he is? If you have a kingdom to give to other people, what are you? King. Our Father is the King. How can we dwell in fear and worry when we have a good shepherd, a generous Father, and a powerful King? Contemplate that for a moment. We worry over small matters, which will soon pass away. But the Father delights to give us the kingdom which will last forever. The kingdom that includes heaven and earth and everything in it will be given to us. If we really understand the fatherhood of God, if we really understand the fatherhood of God, what he has done for us, what he has given us, what he will do for us, we will never have to worry anything on earth. We will not have to worry about anything on earth. My son was a student of Batulintang School. Some of you know my son, Ray. One day, driving home from school, he hit a Pajero. Accident. Of course, the driver came out from the Pajero. My son quickly approached him. Uncle, it's okay. Don't worry, uncle. My father will settle this with you. Oh, very clever. Very clever. My son did not have to worry. He just passed his problem to me. Why? Because he cannot handle this problem. He has no money. The car was mine. Not his car, my car. So just pass it. Our Heavenly Father is so much better than the best human father on earth. Yes, our Heavenly Father will settle the problems we cannot handle. So why worry? Indeed, our Heavenly Father has settled the greatest problem in our lives, the problem of sin on the cross. The problem of our sin on the cross, all the other problems in our lives are nothing compared to the problems of our sin. If you have not put your trust in Jesus Christ, you should be worrying. You should be worrying because your sins will destroy you. Once you believe in Jesus, nothing in the world can separate us from the love of God, which means there's nothing in life to worry about, because God loves us and He will make sure that we get through this life. In verse 33, Jesus gives us an example how we seek God's kingdom. Sell your possession and give to the poor. Does it mean that we sell whatever we have in our possession? Does it mean we go to the bank and empty all our accounts? How do we apply this verse in our life? We have to find out how the early disciples put this into practice. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 18 tells us how. Apostle Paul telling Timothy to teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. The principle here is to give generously. When you give generously, you will provide yourself with purses. You will provide for yourself purses that will not wear out. Purses that will not be damaged. You will have a treasure. You have a treasure in heaven that will never fail. No thief will come. No thief comes near. No thief can come near to steal. And no moth can destroy. Here, Jesus is telling us that all forms of riches, all forms of wealth on earth can either be stolen or destroyed. Even intangible items. You can take off the screen. Even intangible items, such as good relationships, listen carefully. Even intangible items, intangible things, as good relationships, happiness, and good memories. I'm sure you have that, right? Good memories, happiness, good relationships. All this can be destroyed. All this can be destroyed by sin and by diseases such as Alzheimer's disease. Treasures in heaven cannot be stolen and they cannot be destroyed. Jesus concludes by saying, verse 34, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The location of your heart, the location of your treasure reveals the location of your heart. If your heart is set on the things of this earth, then you'll be busy laying up treasures here. If you value fortune, you will spend your time and energy building large financial portfolios. If you value pleasure, you will spend your time and energy on whatever that makes you feel good. If you value fame, you will spend your time and energy doing whatever it takes to make you popular and famous. But if you value the kingdom of God, then you will live for kingdom purposes. You will live for kingdom values. I want to close with this. Think of all that you possess. Think of all that you possess on this earth. All your properties, all your cars, all your money in the bank. All these actually do not belong to you. You do not own them. God does. They belong to God. We are just His stewards. We are just His managers. God entrusts all these things to each of us to use for His kingdom purpose. Many of them are given by Him for our sure enjoyment. Steve Cole writes this: stewardship frees us from worry. When my car has gotten dented in a parking lot, or when other things beyond my control happen to my money or possessions, I say, Lord, it's your car, it's your money, it's your stuff. I'm trying to be a good steward, but it doesn't belong to me. Jesus says, don't worry about anything. Your Heavenly Father cares for you. Seek His kingdom. Your needs will be met, and you will have treasure in heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us that we do not have to worry about life because you will provide all our needs. Yet, we are so prone to worry. You can see clearly Who among us are overwhelmed by worries and anxieties? Some of us have cried over our worries. Some of us are having sleepless nights. Help us to see that you are a Father who cares, a Father who will provide. And we can bring our worries to you and lift them with you. Everything will be all right in your presence. In Jesus' name, Amen.